let's make the best of it. I think about it often, like the last 20 years and the really, really hard and dark times that I encountered. I would do it all again if it meant that I could have this life for the rest of my life now.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. You made it. I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is extremely full today as I get to introduce you to Courtney Rich. You might know her on Instagram as Cake by Courtney. She has been featured in O, the Oprah Magazine, the Kelly Clarkson Show, the Today Show, and hundreds of thousands of people all over the world cannot get enough of her beautifully designed cakes and her beautiful personality. Courtney started baking right in her own home kitchen. She has two amazing kids. She's married to her husband and best friend. She lives here in Utah, and we also share the same faith. I met Courtney this past summer at a convention, and you would not believe that after about a 45-minute presentation of her talking about her struggles with her mental health, the punchline at the very end was, "And through it all, I found out I had ADHD." I knew right then and there I had to invite her to be on this podcast. And because her ADHD diagnosis is relatively new, this is one of the very first times she's talked about her journey toward ADHD diagnosis publicly. Courtney, thank you for accepting this invitation and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, let's go ahead and just start into it and talk a little bit about your ADHD diagnosis. It's rather recent, right?
Yeah. I was diagnosed earlier this year in March, and it was a very long process, and it was not something that was even on my radar until my diagnosis. Basically, I've been treating with doctors and therapists depression for the better part of 20 years. It was something that was first brought up around my parents' separation when I was a senior in high school, and they got divorced when I was a freshman in college. And that is kind of when I started seeing doctors for definitely feeling depressed, for feeling really unexplainably sad. I very much felt different during that time. I knew that that's not my personality. My personality that I came to earth with, that I know that I was gifted with, is definitely a positive, happy person personality. You know, my parents would joke that I was the president of the happy club from when I was a little girl, just had positive energy. I wasn't rambunctious, but I was smiling more than anything. And they would say, "Oh, you could throw Courtney against a wall," and she would just bounce back and be smiling and happy and giggly, because that was just my personality. And as I reached this time into early adulthood, and I was getting ready to leave for college and started experiencing these bouts of depression, they were very recognizable, but very foreign. And I didn't really know much about depression. I just knew that I was finding myself feeling really sad without a lot of motivation, and not understanding, not being able to really focus on what I needed to focus on. And talked to my mom about it and started seeing a therapist and a doctor, and they diagnosed and started to treat me for depression with antidepressants. You know, looking back, I never felt like it totally worked, and I never stayed on them for long term. It felt like rolling hills. It felt like 20 years of rolling hills, where it was, I'd have days and weeks and sometimes, you know, a few weeks at a time where I felt pretty good, or maybe it was a couple months I felt good. And those were usually times I was really very focused and had a lot going on.
Many women that are late diagnosed with ADHD have often been misdiagnosed, just like here with Courtney. There's an article titled "A Review of Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder in Women and Girls: Uncovering This Hidden Diagnosis." This can be found at PubMed. Pretty much what they're saying is that women and girls with ADHD have a distinct symptom presentation. that looks a lot different than boys or men with ADHD. That females with ADHD may develop better coping strategies, just like what Courtney was saying, than males. And with ADHD, as a result, can mask or mitigate the impact of their ADHD symptoms better. When women are misdiagnosed and given medication, it can feel very isolating. When we're given medication that's supposed to help us and we really can't feel a difference, we start to think maybe we're the problem. Courtney's going to talk about a couple of things here. One of them is journaling, which is really helpful for an ADHD brain to get the thoughts out of her head and into reality. The second one is staying busy, which for her was a very high dopamine producing activity. And these are two common coping mechanisms of women with undiagnosed ADHD.
It was in college. I would work three different jobs. I was in the newsroom. I was working at an art studio, a passion of mine as well. Broadcast was a passion of mine. And I was TAing for a teacher and I was very busy. You know, I used to have a journal. One of my therapists said, you know, I want you to have an emotions journal. I want you to start, if it's writing or if you want to do art or just any way to express the emotions on paper and kind of take them from your head to your paper. I did that a lot through the second half of college after my mom got remarried, after my parents' divorce. And that was really just hard for me, for the family kind of moving on in that way. And so I did, I kind of used that as practice, but I really found myself unknowingly diving into 1,000 different things, whether it was projects at my apartment, you know, that were kind of half finished, but it was like, okay, you have a moment, you should be doing something. I wanted to be, I had this energy. I mean, my freshman year of college, I went right to the professor that was in charge of the broadcast department. And he had actually been my parents' professor when they were there. And I went in and said, Professor Griffiths, I want to work in the newsroom and I want to start right now. And he was like, you're a freshman. So I don't know what I can do with you. And I think he realized I was not leaving until I had a job in the newsroom. You know, I started working on tape. I started anyway, just doing things. And so, you know, there were times, I guess that's to speak to, if I was busy and involved in things that I was really interested in and things that kind of took my mind off of what was causing chaos in my mind, that I felt like I was doing pretty well. I got married. I started a family. I was working in media consulting. I was doing all these other things, but it was like the depression just would creep in. I thought I would kind of have it taken care of. And then it came back. Cause I should say, Camden too, what was interesting is the doctor that diagnosed me and said, you know, you've got depression and we're going to treat it this way, this way. She said situational depression. And she said, you know, because you've had this big life-changing thing, your parents' divorce, you know, I expect that this will go away. And I think deep down, I was like, okay, I can hang on for a second. And I always had this thought and expectation that it was going to go away. And when it didn't, and when it felt like it was coming back and I was going into the lows again, I was like, wait a second, this isn't supposed to be like this. They told me it was going to go away. It was going to get better. Yeah. And it felt like failure. I don't know why I personally took that on as a sense of failure, but I remember feeling that. And so there was the shame, which if you've experienced depression and anxiety, one or the other or both, there's a great sense of shame and guilt. And I felt like because of that shame and that guilt, I shouldn't have it. My life is going pretty well. And there's these things going on that I should be really happy about and I'm healthy. I don't have anything to be sad about. That made me feel super guilty. And then there felt like there was this shame. And so it led to this black hole of feeling very alone. Yeah. And I didn't want to share it with people. I felt like while I was in college and going through it early in my marriage and most of my marriage, to be honest with you, I had a really hard time telling people about it and how I was feeling. Even my closest family members and friends, I just felt like I had to hide it and mask it. And I got really good at that, but it almost made those moments of depression even worse where it was like, no, I'm hiding it. It's good. It's like putting it under the rug. You think about all the dust you're going to hide. Well, all of a sudden that rug fills up and it's no longer flat. You now have this mound you have to climb over to get to the other side of the room. And that's kind of how each of these moments would work for me, where it was just like an explosion of emotion where I tried to mask and hide the lows that I was feeling so much that it just, I couldn't anymore. And I would like burst at the seams and it created such panic and anxiety that all of a sudden I was experiencing panic attacks,
yeah,
and major anxiety from it too. But just trying to figure out how to get through those moments by myself without sharing them with other people.
Well, and you didn't even, I mean, you couldn't navigate them correctly, right? You were basing that upon false, it sounds kind of harsh, but false information, right?
Yeah.
What it should look like, how you should be getting over it. And I also find it very interesting that you said it was kind of like this roller coaster, or you said hills and valleys or something like that, right? But the writing out your emotions part from your therapist to a degree is also very, very helpful for an ADHD brain. And I am curious about if, like, sometimes when things might work a little bit, you know, and you're like, oh, that actually did help me organize my thoughts. I actually did, the brain dump actually did clear up some space in my mind, that in doing some of those things, you were helped just enough to maybe get over the next hump, but it wasn't happening. Hey, ADHDer, let's get Courtney's story to even more people. Please press the plus button on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. This will help more people start to see this podcast, hear her story, and of course, get more ADHD education over time. You can also follow me, Camden, at Camden_ADHD on Instagram. Back to the show. So I would love, if you're willing to contrast that now to maybe your ADHD diagnosis, and why does this feel different compared to the help you were seeking? Because you went through a lot, right? You saw a lot of people, you did the holistic route. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this was all pre-ADHD diagnosis. So then on the other side of that, what has made it feel so much different now to receive this diagnosis with what you've done about that, you know, with the information you have now?
Once I was diagnosed, like once it kind of came up, I took a test, tested very positive, like 99th percentile. I mean, even if I had been lower, it wouldn't have made a difference. I would have started medication. That was the first thing we did. And then I dove into research. I wanted to understand what this meant. I didn't know much about it. And what I did know was based on boys and men. And I gained this whole new understanding, appreciation, and compassion for women, for myself with ADHD. And I think like both of those things, all of a sudden I felt different. And that was the biggest thing. I went back to my first appointment after starting medication. And like I said, I had done medication on and off for depression with antidepressants that were supposed to be treating depression.
Oh my goodness.
They never really worked. Part of me was like, me, I think they're working. I think, and then they wouldn't. I was like, what is wrong with me? Like this, okay, I guess I'm just on my own. I just, you know, luckily had still enough fight in me that I didn't just give up, but I kept feeling like there was an answer somewhere in 20 years. I was like, no, there's still, I'll figure this out. This is okay. If this is my lot in life, I know I can feel better. I'm just going to find every way to help me like manage this and feel better. And, but like I said, it was those rolling hills. It was like managing, feeling better, not feeling better. And so once I started medication, once I started really researching and understanding what was going on, I felt so different. And I went back to that first appointment and my doctor said, okay, what have you noticed in this last month? And I said, you know, for the first time in pretty much 20 years, I had a 30-day period where I didn't feel depressed. There wasn't a day that I woke up in the last 30 days that I felt unexplainably sad and had to just coach myself through the day. She literally put her arms in the air and was like, yes, this is it. Wow. And I was like, I'm treating the right thing. And that was like the first moment where I'm like, this is it. I can't believe it. And that's when I really started to just like dive into understanding my brain and how it is wired differently and the neurodiversity out there in the world and just understanding what my strengths are.
For many people, receiving their ADHD diagnosis is like meeting a new part of them they never knew existed. If you've seen maybe on the Today Show, like separated twins at birth or an adoptee finally meeting a biological parent, for example, there's just a huge spectrum of emotions that are felt: happy, relieved, nervous, scared, or a mix of any of them. And all of them are valid. with your ADHD diagnosis, there's going to come a point when you're going to have to choose, what am I going to do with this information? How am I going to move forward? What am I going to start to change? And what am I going to start to adapt? You're going to see your whole life through a new lens. You can't unlearn that information now that you've gained it. And Courtney's going to start to talk about this a little bit too. How now with this new lens of ADHD, how she would move forward to make sense of this disability. Your story doesn't have to be exactly like Courtney's. There are so many valid, beautiful ways for you to process. Listen how aspects of Courtney's life that had become necessary, completely normal, and really played to her strengths started to take new form through the lens of ADHD.
Let's talk about the strengths too.
Well, the strengths that sometimes people would say are weaknesses that like they could turn, or that I would even turn into weaknesses, you know, that, oh, it's not good that I'm trying to do 1,000 things at once. And, you know, or I even have like family members that are like, I wake up really early and I go to bed early. And they're like, oh, of course you go to bed early and you're so tired at night. You wake up so early. And I was like, I found it actually doesn't matter what time I wake up in the morning. I'm always exhausted. Like before starting medicine, I was crashing at 3:00 in the afternoon. Yeah. And there was like, my mind hurt. My brain was just exhausted. And you know, as a mom and working, you often blame it on those things. You're like, oh, I've got little kids. I've got big kids. I've got work, you know, makes sense why I'm exhausted or whatever. But it was like to a point where it was like so much. It felt just beyond. Kind of like it's beyond. It really is beyond.
Yeah.
And now at this point, I'm like, no, I have so much energy to give and I'm my best self in the morning.
Yes.
And guess what? In the morning before everyone else wakes up and the trucks start building the park behind me and my family is up and before I know people start emailing me, guess what? That is the one time of day where my mind is so calm and quiet. I'm not going to give that up. I will wake up early for that because I can sit in my kitchen for a minute and it feels clear. But I kind of wake up with a sense of energy and chaos. And then I go and I sit for a minute before I exercise and before I can do my scripture study and before I can start my day. And I'm like, that's what works for me. That is one of my strengths, my energy that's innate, that's in here. And even though it may feel chaotic to someone else, like, don't tell me to stop doing as much as I'm doing, because this is what works for me.
Totally. You are leveraging your strengths. And that is, it is so important. I just did an episode called Claim Your Brain. Like, own it, wrap it up in your own wrapping paper, put your own, excuse me, we should be talking about frosting and sprinkles, okay, or whatever it might be, but like whatever crumb coating you're going to put on that.
Yeah.
You know, literally understand what you're working with. And it's so interesting that you are an early riser. I am also innately an early riser. My husband wakes up even earlier than I do, but that is my time as well. However, many people's ADHD brains come alive at night. Yeah. And I want to highlight this because just because you've been diagnosed with ADHD doesn't mean that there's one way, that it's a one size fits all by any means. I love what you're saying, Courtney, because you said you dived in, you delved in, whatever it might be. Into all this research and all this understanding about who you are based upon the biology. And then what I heard you also say is you got to know what that meant for you, your lifestyle and your entrepreneurship and your family. And that key, this isn't just like get a pill and be done, right?
Yeah.
It's a pill and a plan. And that key of this full life approach, this whole body approach, this whole life approach is so essential. And that's where the joy, you just feel unlocked. At least that's how I feel. I feel like unlocked.
This freedom that you feel, the big part about like doing the whole, I don't know if it's a 5-step, a 6-step, it's like kind of all the pieces of your cake, right? All the slices of your cake are part of your cake right now. Because like once you're diagnosed, once you start researching, once you start communicating with people, okay, this is how my brain works, and you get the support system and people around you start to understand and appreciate, and, you know, don't feel like you're just a complete ditz and not as smart, or as, you know, you have an awful time at remembering things. But I mean, for that 20-year period and more, so many times I felt different. And I couldn't explain it because it wasn't obvious. Mm-hmm. I felt different. And then in 20 years of trying to treat depression, having like missteps and just all the like ADHD stuff that we do, especially if we're not on medication, the things that we forget, the things that we miss, the things that we feel like we're not good at and that we're failing, because our brain just isn't interested in it. It's not focused on that. You know, I just kept thinking, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. What is wrong with me? And that became a narrative for me, unfortunately. And that looking back, I'm like, Courtney, nothing was wrong with you. Nothing is wrong with us. Nothing is wrong with us. Nothing. And I like that alone just gave me so much peace and relief to be like, no. This is how I was designed. And let's talk mm-hmm. about the beauty behind the design of our brain and the things that we can achieve and accomplish. And, you know, just the way that we can work with what we have here.
We can mm-hmm. leverage the way that our brain naturally works for the benefit of ourselves, for the benefit of society, for the benefit of our family. If we can use that as a strength, understanding it, mm-hmm. then we're going to really enjoy it. And then we're like, this is certainly not something that's wrong with us, because it's getting the results and the joy and everything that I want to create in my life. It's making it possible. So you've received an ADHD diagnosis. How do you start to do that? How do you start to leverage your brain? How do you start to claim it and own it and integrate it into who you are in order to create the life you knew you always wanted to live? For many people, receiving a diagnosis is followed quickly by medication. ADHD is one of the most highly treatable mental disorders that are out there. For others, medication is not the option or even the path that they choose. Ultimately, understanding what is actually happening in our brain is going to help you make those decisions for medication, for coaching, for setting up systems in your home, for how you communicate with your partner and your family. This might look like following a couple new accounts on social media. It might look like hiring a therapist or an ADHD coach. And certainly consuming ADHD podcasts and books and magazines is something that is available to a great majority of this world.
Yeah, and I think what's been really fun for me in the last 6 months or so is being able to read books, listen to, you know, read, and by read, I mean, listen, I'm not sitting down with books. I am listening to the podcasts and things and just feeling like, oh, I checked the box. Oh, that makes sense. That's me. And feeling like kind of like you're discovering a new side of you that was mm-hmm. always there, but you're doing it with like open arms, like you would a friend, you know, whereas totally. Before it was almost like, okay, this Courtney, that is not the norm. That is not okay. And just like really understanding myself, I think too, you know, such a big thing. We have to listen to our inner self. We have to listen to that voice. That's like, you know what? Let's explore this part. If you haven't been diagnosed with ADHD, or maybe you don't have it, but you have some other mental health or physical health mm-hmm. ailments, I have learned over probably the last 5 years or so, like how important it is to just listen to your own intuition and start trying some practices. Gosh, if you feel like, you know, your hormones are off, we're going to go get tested for our hormones. Let's see what we can do to manage that. And, or maybe it's something just like start to listen. And that's kind of what led me finally to my diagnosis, was just this like inner intuition led by the Holy Ghost of saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to help you find the right path. And it's still going to take a second to get there. I know it's already been all this time, but like, let's find this path. And while I was on this path, especially in the last 3 years specifically, I started to really develop some habits too, like this early rising and having the study time and really like setting apart time for my mind, for my spirit, and for my body in the morning. And I started to develop that.
Aren't you? Yeah. As well? Yeah. 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 Which is so it's like phenomenal for dopamine. So yes, exactly. Anyway, keep going.
Right. Well, and you think, also dopamine, I'm a baker. Guess what? Sugar hits up that dopamine.
And no creativity. Wonder I've loved
sweets for my life because it's given me that dopamine hit that my brain is missing.
Cool.
Anyway, but I think that, you know, has like helped me even now. It's like, oh, look at all these practices I kind of started to develop over the years as I've just been listening and trying to figure out and manage. And now just with like the full cake, all my slices together, the medicine, therapy, the doctor, my family understanding, me knowing, the books, the research, now having like this whole picture together, it does. It feels like a new person. Like we've talked about, I put glasses on, you know, and I can see.
I love that analogy. I mean, we talked a little bit about that, but it is, it's like this idea of, you know, you're just running around blind and people are saying, oh, try these. And you put on swim goggles. You're like, it's really not helping, you know? And they're like, okay, take those off, put these like construction goggles on. Oh, okay. It's not really working. Right. And then you put the right pair of glasses that has your prescription on. Then all of a sudden, holy Toledo, this existed. I could feel this way with this lens, looking at this world, taking it all in. This is phenomenal. And I'm looking at you. We're doing this on a Zoom and a podcast, and I'm seeing the joy, and I'm seeing also like the struggle that it was for so many years. And I can't help but think, Courtney, that you were like prepared to accept this diagnosis, like full throttle, give me diagnosis and let me run into this life that I've been wanting and desiring and trying to create for so long. And it's very inspiring. And also, if it's okay, I just want to highlight that it's okay if you don't feel that way at the very beginning. If you're listening to this podcast and you've gotten your ADHD diagnosis and it might be a little bit depressing or anxiety ridden, or you might feel a little bit low or confused, all of your emotions are totally acceptable. Please think of all the years that Courtney was trying to understand her mental health through the wrong pair of glasses, you know, wearing some whatever glasses they were. And now she has finally gotten to the bottom of it. And you don't know where you are at your journey, but hopefully you hear the message that there is hope, there is support, there is so many resources out there to help guide you through this, and that this little beginning seed really, really can grow to beautiful, beautiful things.
Yeah. I mean, just to add on to what you were saying, I think, I'm sure there's some feelings for people that are like, wait, what? Like, I don't know, a negative connotation with ADHD. Yeah. And I hope that you can just open up your heart and your mind to the idea that it's a really beautiful thing and gives you a lot of fabulous, fabulous talents and skills and abilities that may not be like someone who doesn't have ADHD, but I hope you can unlock the potential that you have and you can see the potential that you have. Like you said, I think I was searching for answers for so long, and searching and feeling like I was just grasping at water or air, like never able to find those answers. That when I finally came to this, I feel like I had exhausted all my options. So I think at this point, you know, at 39 years old, when this, you know, happened this year, I felt so much relief because it made sense, because the medicine started working, because the spirit said, here, this is what you've been looking for. It just all felt right. And I can totally understand that maybe it doesn't for some people, but I hope if that's you, that you just give yourself some time to go through an acceptance period, to start reading some books about women with ADHD, like, cause we're very different from men. So take whatever you know about ADHD and like, just put it to the side and go start looking into, okay, what does it mean about your brain? Like, what does that look like? How is your brain wired differently than someone without ADHD? And then what does it look like for women specifically? Mm-hmm. Because it is going to be different. And I think you'll probably be able to say, oh, I checked the box here and here and here. And for me, when I was going through those moments, it just felt like like someone saw me, that someone understood. And I was listening to my book and I was thinking, this is me. This is me. Someone gets me. I'm not crazy. I'm not ditzy.
How do they know what's in my head?
I know. There's nothing wrong with me. Look, I'm not the only one like this. Prior to ADHD, I felt very, very alone in my journey with my mental health. I felt a lot of shame and a lot of guilt around the depression that I felt. And I had a hard time opening up to people about it. I really didn't open up, which is a very dangerous thing. So don't do that either. That is a what not to do. And so I knew that like once this happened and it changed me, like I could just feel this change inside of me because I knew it was right. And obviously because the medicine was helping so much that I needed people in my life to know that there was this change in me, that we finally found something. I think my mom felt a lot of relief. I think she was surprised. I think she probably had, like me, kind of archaic ideas of ADHD and what that was based on boys. Mm-hmm. I think she felt a lot of relief though. I think she worried a lot, as any mother would. Unknowingly, she was teaching me a lot of really good habits as a kid and as a teenager that I have used throughout my life that I didn't know helped me cope with my ADHD mind the way that they did. Yeah. So it was a huge blessing. And my dad too, both very successful and organized, but then, you know, be able to share with my dad, my parents are divorced. So those were separate conversations. And for him to be able to relate and say, do you know what? I feel this way. My life has been like this much, you know, and learn about my family mental health on that side and the ADHD that exists on my dad's side. Be able to pull Ryan into the picture, you know, and I had him start with a podcast from Huberman Lab. So he is a professor, got his doctor and everything at Stanford. Really intelligent. I mean, the funny thing about the podcast about ADHD that he did, it was like 2 hours long. And he even joked about it. He's like, look, I know this is long and you're sitting here with ADHD. Like, how am I going to get through this?
You're doing the dishes or something.
And you broke it up into probably like 3 days worth of listening.
Exactly.
But he kind of takes this more, you know, scientific, biological route, really discussing and helping you understand how the brains are wired differently. Mm. And sometimes I guess I took on, you know, at a younger age in my 20s, that people might think depression is made up. It might be silly. It's not really a thing. Get over it. How many times do you hear people say, we'll just be happy? I can't even tell you, right? So you begin to feel like you can't really share it with people and you're worried about what they might think or say.
It's not safe.
Right. You don't feel safe. That's a great way to say that. Yes. So feeling like Ryan, who is such a right brain, logical, very realistic, non-ADHDer.
Right?
Yes. Ryan's my husband. Okay. Yeah. Being able to like share that podcast with him and just say, hey, this is maybe a first good listen for you to like, just understand the biological makeup, my genetic makeup, how my brain is wired. And the transmitters they're supposed to be communicating like they do in your brain so well aren't in mine, you know? And so that was like a good first step to share with him that he listened to. And I still want him to kind of read some of the books that might be a little more boring to him, but like the women with ADHD.
Yeah.
But I tried to like share with him, look, here's, you know, some of my triggers. Here's what I know is hard for me as I still navigate my ADHD. Cause like we've said, and you've said on your podcast and your platforms before, it doesn't go away once you know about it. It doesn't go away once you have medicine. There's all these things that are able to help you really thrive, but being able to pull people in for the first time through this journey, has also been transformative and made me feel, less alone, but just less different actually. And that's interesting, right? Like, I have this platform and years ago, I remember kind of feeling like, you know, maybe I share more than cake. Maybe there's more of me that I can share. And I started opening up a little bit about my religion, about my love of our Savior, Jesus Christ, about my mental health journey. And little by little, you know, I started to connect. I started to see how that was not just helping other people, but also helping me kind of accept and grow and to be ready for this diagnosis that I had this year. Now I'm just so grateful for the chance to speak or to do an interview like this and just share, because I know there are so many women out there struggling to understand what is happening in their mind, struggling to understand why they feel different or why they can't keep a schedule or finish a project or they forget a kid at practice for an hour. I'm raising my hand, guys. Mm-hmm. So many things. Why we have 1,000 piles in one spot of our room, you know, and the calendars and calendars and just things that we think are wrong with us are different. Like, I just am so grateful now that I had the opportunity 20 years later to say, hey, look, this is a really wonderful thing. We share it. There's lots of us. There's a great, awesome community.
You know, like we can understand that now there's this acceptance of this has zero to do with my worth. Mm-hmm. Zero to do with like me not being an exceptional human being.
Yeah.
Whether or not I have a pile or not a pile is completely irrelevant to my humanness, to my humanity, mm-hmm. to my worthiness of being on this planet. And it makes so much more sense through the context of now how I know my brain works. And I love everything you've been saying.
Thank you.
So, so helpful. We are also extremely creative. And so when we understand that these things exist, and this is like maybe one of my last questions for you, but when we understand what exists here, then we can set up a structure, we can set up an understanding, we can set up a system in our home or in our life to help us manage mm-hmm. these areas, right? We outsource to the system, we outsource to a spouse or a child or a partner or a cleaner or, you know, whatever it might be, that there is just this capacity when we understand who we are to show up for ourselves a lot better. Has that been impactful or helpful for you in your home or in your business at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And there were things too that I recognized even before being diagnosed that I was like,
okay, you didn't even really know.
I'm bad at this, right?
Yeah.
Finances and the money stuff.
Oh man. Yes.
Oh my gosh. I would rather do anything else.
That's pretty across the board.
Yeah. And Ryan is like, I'm really good at that. That's the one thing he does in my business because he works full time. But I'm like, can you please pay my taxes? Can we find an accountant to help me with my business numbers, you know?
Totally.
And he is like, you know, so he helped take that on early on. And so even now I'm like, see, look,
that was why,
that's why it makes sense. You know,
and I was advocating for myself in my brain, even when I didn't know it,
when I didn't know it. Right. And as my business grew and I could feel, you know, myself becoming more and more overwhelmed as my kids are getting older and busier and the business getting busier. I'm like, there are some things and I sat down, I'm like, I don't like doing the emails. I don't like doing the funnels and the rant, you know, I want to create. And I always would tell Ryan that I was like, if we were to ever work together, you just would have to let me create, let me be the creator, whether it's the recipes or the marketing or the videos or whatever, like that is where I thrive. And the writing, it's just anything creative. That's what I want to do. But do I want to stop and fold laundry? No, but sometimes I try to remember to. Or guess what? The other night we had a huge pile of laundry after our trip to New York. And I said, everyone, we're going to the laundry room. Everyone's grabbing their own laundry and they're putting it away. Like, this is not always just on me, but I'm more accepting of piles of laundry now, you know, where I'm like, you know what? It's laundry. We're going to get to it. That's not my highest priority right now. I want to go work on this. And that's where my strength is going to be right now. And so, I've been able to outsource a few things. And also I get in these moments, I don't know what, if you have found this at all, Camden, or any of your like clients and people, your students that you work with. But I think over the years too, not knowing I've had ADHD, it's also created this moment of like these episodes of like OCD and kind of obsessive compulsive disorder, right? Is that a thing too?
Yes. Well, are you talking about like almost perfectionistic? Like I have to triple check, make sure, make sure.
Yes. Yeah, or even with like,
very common.
Or organize, like, yes, with that, like people would be like, I actually had a woman say to me after I was speaking, I don't think she was trying to be mean. She's like, I don't believe that you have ADHD. Like how mm-hmm. is that? You've done all these things.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, we train ourselves. We learn behaviors,
We're
right?
My mom is hackers.
Yes, my mom is so organized. I learned from a young age what it meant to be organized and what I needed to do to be organized and what that was supposed to look like. I just mimicked what my mom was doing literally all the way through adulthood. I'm like, oh, well, my mom keeps a calendar outside of her phone. My mom has a file system. I should do that. But then there's like these moments too, where if I feel like life is a little bit out of control, I want to like go to my pantry and reorganize the whole thing. Or if I go to put one thing away upstairs in the linen closet and everything is a total mess, well, 2 hours later, I've reorganized the entire.
It's you give a mouse a cookie. You know that book?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and actually, yeah. It like happened on Sunday. I don't know. I was just feeling a little anxious. I'd done my medicine. Like I said, it's not just gone away, but there were some things kind of making me feel a little anxious. And I went to go kind of put one new thing away in my pantry where all my cake stuff is and my supplies and food and all the things. And Ryan came down a little, like maybe 30 minutes later, and I had trash bags out everywhere and I had started to pull apart my pantry, and he comes in and he's like, oh, okay. Is everything okay? Like, instead of being like, what the heck are you doing? Like, he knew
he needed
to just say like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, is this one of those moments where you just need to like be alone and organize something? And I was like, yeah. Uh-huh. And he was like, okay, I'll see you in a couple hours.
Oh, right?
Like
that's lovely.
He had a better understanding. I wasn't trying to neglect him. I wasn't mad at him. I wasn't ignoring things. I wasn't a crazy person. He just knew that that is kind of one of my ways of like coping, and maybe in a moment that is harder than others.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you brought that up. It's so real. It's getting all the listeners are like, oh my goodness. I did my shoe closet the other day and I did my pantry yesterday and, you know, bathroom. I also think it can be a healthy coping mechanism that when we are feeling anxious, we want to have control over something, give the mouse the cookie. And if I do this, then I want to do this. And
who knew that that book, Give a Mouse a Cookie, was probably a biography written by someone with ADHD.
I know, probably.
Hello.
Oh, you're probably so right. No, you're so right. This has just been wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. I asked Courtney if there were any last words of wisdom that she wanted to share with us at the end of this interview. Listen carefully as she ties in her faith, her patience, her full acceptance of her body and her brain, and her hope of never giving up on the life she most desired.
I think just to reiterate that anyone listening that worries that something is wrong with them and that they are different, they're not. You are a beautiful human with so many gifts and talents to share. I hope you take the time to explore it and to figure it out. I mean, this whole Cake by Courtney thing is a complete second act. It's never too late to start something new, to find yourself again, to explore, you know, what ailments you might have or the way that you're feeling. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said, I'm 35, I'm 47, I'm 53. I've just been diagnosed with ADHD. Like, it's never too late to work on yourself, to care about yourself, to make changes and really discover who you are, because we have such a long life to live. I hope we all do. Let's make the best of it. I think about it often, like the last 20 years and the really, really hard and dark times that I encountered. I would do it all again if it meant that I could have this life for the rest of my life now. I would be able to find this diagnosis and feel this way. It was a really long time. I very much feel like Heavenly Father needed me to be on that path to experience the things I experienced. And I didn't appreciate them. It was very hard at the time to appreciate what was happening and what I was going through. But I can look back like we do in life and say, oh, I understand. So I hope that this discussion and any discussion you listen to with Camden and her guests or any books that you read and things you're figuring out, I hope that you just have a great sense of hope that your journey might be a little bit longer or a little bit shorter. But don't give up on that journey, because there's so much to discover, even if it's not the right path. I can't tell you how many dead ends I ran into in 2 decades. So many dead ends, but there was always stuff that I learned. There was always stuff that helped me then and in the future from those moments. And so don't give up. I hope you just seek the silver linings. I hope you seek God's hand in your life every day and see that it's there. Even when you're struggling and you feel really, really alone, or you're trying to accept what's happening, I just hope you look for those moments and that you can feel that there is hope. And that's all I hope to offer to anyone who hears this.
Thank you, Courtney. You've offered a great deal of hope today. Just all my love and gratitude for your time today. Thank you very, very much for being here. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called the ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at the Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.